What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson. Let's get this started. All right, on today's episode, we're going to be talking about and really debunking the calories in, calories out model. So, what do you think?
All right, so at first, let's just go over what the calories in, calories out model is.
Okay.
So, most people believe that it's to lose weight or to gain weight, it's all about an energy balance. So in order to lose weight, you need to consume less calories than you're burning. And then in order to gain weight, you need to consume more calories than you're burning. So the main way that most people go about this is they either eat less and move more to lose weight, or eat more and move less to gain weight. That's why most people supposedly get fat. And that's what the strategy most people use to lose weight as well.
Yeah, so they blame people being overweight on just eating too much. And that can be the case in certain scenarios, of course, but usually it's just a hormone imbalance, don't you think?
Yeah, most people are not fat because they are eating too much and being lazy.
How many big people do we see eating salads out all the time, right? They're starving themselves and they're still overweight.
And how often do you see people, you know, you'll see the same person at the gym for 6 months, every time you go to the gym, they're on the treadmill for an hour. Uh-huh. They're there when you get there. They're there when you leave.
Working hard.
And they're not going anywhere. They're not losing any weight.
Yeah.
They can't be lazy. I mean,
obviously not, right?
Yeah, you see them in the gym that much. So there's got to be more to it than just eat less and move more.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some of this stuff. So one thing I wanted to discuss was, why do people overeat? Why is that a thing for certain people? My personal belief is that they're not getting enough of the micronutrients that they need, so because they're not eating high quality foods. Mm-hmm. So if you're eating, you know, you're getting most of your calories from Doritos, of course you're going to be eating that all the time because you're missing out on a lot of micronutrients. Like, your body's constantly hungry. It's not for the Doritos, it's for, you know, it's trying to get some vitamin A, get some vitamin C, get those B vitamins, but you're just stuffing yourself full of just this really low quality, crappy, garbage food.
Because you only have one hunger cue, and it's hungry. Our body doesn't say, hey, we need a little more B vitamins. Hey, we need a little more protein. And I think protein is something that happens a lot. People eat, especially if you're on a plant-based diet or just processed food, just trash, you're not going to be getting complete amino acids. You're not going to be getting good animal proteins throughout the day. So your body desperately needs these things, and it's going to tell you, please eat more. And it's just going to take that chance that even if it is Doritos, even if it is, you know, I don't know, broccoli. And again, broccoli is considered healthy, but as far as nutritionally, there are holes there. Just eat more of it until you get those minimums every day.
Yeah, so that's one reason that a lot of people can overconsume just some crappy garbage food. Another thing is, if you're not getting enough sleep, your cortisol is going to be a little bit higher than it should be. When your cortisol is high, it's causing you to eat more sugar. It wants, you're craving sugar because you're not getting enough sleep. So you need that short access to, you know, some quick energy and that sugar. So a lot of people are just craving sugar all the time because they're not getting enough sleep.
You can't outrun a bad diet. Like, I know if you're younger, you know, in your 20s and you eat like crap and you work out all the time, there's a lot of people out there and some of them do have good physiques, but eventually that will run out. And overall, just in reality, we have a very limited control of the amount of calories we burn every day. So, like, can you tell your heart rate to beat more right now?
No.
No. Can you tell your kidneys to filter out more salt right now?
Oh, no.
No, we can't do that, right? So we have a very limited amount of control of the calories we burn. Our basal metabolic rate encompasses all of these things. What your kidneys are doing, what your liver is doing, how many breaths you're taking every minute. These things that are out of our control take up the bulk of our calories, and also just generating heat. A lot of the food we eat goes to heat. People don't think of it, but we need to keep our bodies warm. You know, we're mammals, we're warm-blooded creatures, so that a lot of our calories go to that. So even if you walk, you know, an hour a day, it's only going to be 100. I guess I don't know the exact amount of calories, but it's not going to be enough to put you in a deficit, or that big of a deficit, if you're relying on the calories in, calories out model to lose weight.
Yeah, and also there's a couple other factors. The more muscle you have, muscle is a very metabolically active tissue. So if you have more muscle, you're going to be burning more calories just because it takes a lot of energy for your body to keep those muscles. And going back to that body heat thing, A lot of people realize this on Thanksgiving. After you eat that gigantic meal, eat all that turkey, a lot of people have, like, they call them meat sweats, I guess is the layman's term for that. But, it's end of November, most parts of the country, it's freezing cold, and you're just sitting there hot and sweating. Just because, when you eat a lot of calories, one easy way for your body to get rid of them, just increasing your body heat. So let's talk about a little bit more about the hormones. So do you think people get fat because of a hormonal imbalance, or do you think it's more just people overeating?
Yeah, I think it's definitely hormone related. Everything is, in my mind. We are our hormones. You know, you see a guy outside, he's hyper aggressive. You can probably bet his testosterone is a little high. You see a lady who's crying all the time, maybe her estrogen is a little too high, right? We are our hormones. It's just, that's a fact. Even if that's not politically correct, we just are. Everyone eats, or at least the standard American diet promotes a high carbohydrate diet. And that produces glucose in our blood. And as far as people consider glucose to be kind of mundane, you know, we hear it all the time, it's just sugar. But in our blood, sugar is almost treated as a toxin. If it gets high, our body really wants to push it low. So insulin is a hormone used to bring our sugars back down to normal, you know, right around 100, give or take. So every time you eat a carbohydrate-rich meal, your pancreas will produce insulin to get those glucose out of the blood as quick as possible. And when insulin's high, your body cannot touch any of your fat stores. So you have two real energy sources. You have glucose, you have ketones. So when you're burning glucose, you're not burning ketones, and vice versa. So if you see someone that's heavy, someone that's tired all the time, someone that just is honestly out of shape, most likely they're a carb burner, and they would do greatly if they just limited their carbohydrates and by extension lowered their insulin and allowed their body to actually burn body fat instead of glucose all day.
Oh yeah, adding on to that, a lot of the recommendations when it comes to eating, you know, a lot of personal trainers recommend that you eat 6 times a day, and that's because that the crappy diet that they recommend kind of forces you to. You're on that blood sugar roller coaster. You eat a high carbohydrate meal, you get a burst of energy. You get, so your blood sugar levels rise, insulin rises with it, lowers your blood sugar lower than what it was before you ate your first meal. Oh, now you're hungry again, so you gotta eat again. Same thing happens. Blood sugar goes up, insulin goes up, deals with the blood sugar, now you got low blood sugar again, and keeps going. Yeah, keeps going and going. So you gotta eat 6 times a day, 9 times a day. Some people eat 12, 20 times. They're just constantly snacking on like that crappy garbage food. So yeah, that's where a lot of those recommendations come from. Not based off of any science, not based off of any health, but just what fits because of their crappy diet.
Yeah, that's true. And also the 6 meals a day and even more, 7, 8, 9, especially in the bodybuilding world, some of them will say it's a thermogenic effect of food, that, you know, your body's metabolism increases to mobilize those nutrients, right? Especially protein. Protein's very thermogenic when you burn it. So there is something to that. That is true, that your body will, their metabolism will spike. Again, it goes back to almost the meat sweats. That's what it's about. But if you eat 6 small meals, you'll get 6 small doses of that thermogenic effect of food. However, if you eat just 1 big meal, you'll get 1 big effect of that thermogenic effect of food, and that'll equal the 6 combined. But the thing is that 1 big meal, you're only getting 1 insulin hit. With the 6 small meals, you're getting 6 insulin hits. So throughout that entire day, you're not touching your body fat at all. But on the day you just eat that 1 big meal for anywhere from 18 to, you know, 12, 14 hours of the rest of the day, when you're not eating, your body's using body fat for fuel. So it's just way healthier to eat less than to eat more, as far as frequency.
Yeah, that's an intermittent fasting protocol. A lot of people are starting to try that out. I don't really consider intermittent fasting just because it just seems like a common sense, natural way that people should be eating.
Yeah, 3 times a day should never been considered normal. That is, the cereal companies made that up, right?
Oh, definitely. Or other people that had a lot of steak and, you know, those carbohydrate-rich foods. Yeah. I mean, sugar companies definitely have a lot of say in that as well. Unfortunately, Coca-Cola funds a lot of research when it comes to nutrition. I don't know about you, but that's not who I want to be funding my nutritional research.
No, definitely not.
So why doesn't that work? Why don't people lose weight on those protocols?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it does work. That's the problem. it'll work for the short period of time that there are a lot of gyms nowadays. I guess I don't know their names, but they're challenge gyms. So you give them $500 and they let you work out their gym. They give you a meal plan for maybe 6 weeks and they'll say you'll lose 20 pounds. And honestly, some of those people, I would say the majority, end up losing that weight. Eventually, you know, that fourth week, fifth week, sixth week, these people are eating tilapia, just a white, lean fish and asparagus all day. They're maybe around 500 to 1,000 calories max in a day, and they're training for hours a day. So they're at a calorie deficit, and they're losing weight. And now, I argue it's not healthy, because our metabolism, our basal metabolic rate, again, all those processes that we can't control will match our calorie intake. So if you're at 1,000 calories a day, your BMR will go down to 1,000 calories a day. So if you're able to sustain living, working out twice a day, 6 days a week, and eating 1,000 calories a day, every day, then guess what? Calories in, calories out works for you. Go ahead. You'll keep that weight. Will you be miserable? Sure. Will you be tired? Yep. Will you be hungry? Yep. Will you eventually get hurt from training that much? I would think so, right? I don't care who you are. LeBron James will get hurt eventually, right? And he's the most athletic person on the planet. So the thing is with those problems or those programs, once you stop training that often, once you eat even 1,200 calories, you don't have to go up to 3,000 calories, just a little bit more food, your BMR is stuck at 1,000. So those extra calories go all back to body fat. So you can be trying your hardest, eating the rice, chicken, broccoli, tilapia, asparagus, whatever, and still be gaining weight. So that's a problem with those meal plans. They're just not sustainable for anybody, in my opinion.
I mean, that also sounds like just some horrible foods to be living off of for the rest of your life.
Yeah, who wants to live off Mrs. Dash her whole life?
Oh, I know. I could not give... You know, I used to eat that way. Not 500 calories. That's too crazy for me. That's too low. But something similar to that, and oh my God, I'm so much happier now that I changed from chicken breast to chicken legs and thighs. Switched that asparagus. Well, I still eat asparagus, but I drown that stuff in butter now.
Yeah, the flavor's in the fat.
Oh, so much better.
Yeah.
And then another problem with that is we've all heard of The Biggest Loser, that TV show. There's a reason it's not on the air anymore. It's because all the people that won that show and most of the contestants on it, they gained all that weight back. Yep. I think it's over 80% of the contestants on that show, they gained all that weight back and then some. Yeah, just like you said, once you start eating that 1,000 calories a day, your basal metabolic rate, your BMR, just lowers to match that. And then just as soon as you start exercising less or you start moving around more, your body just is going to start packing on the fat. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, if you're eating a low-fat diet, you're never giving your body a signal to tap into its body fat. It doesn't really know how to do that because you're always, you know, just supplying it with carbs, carbs, carbs. So it's never really using that fat metabolism to the way it should. If you get fat adapted first and then you start trying those strategies, yeah, they'll work a little bit better. But yeah, still eating 500 to, I would even argue 1,500 calories for most people is a little bit too low. Personally, I went from like a 2,500 calorie diet when I was eating, you know, the standard American diet, that's sad. Once I switched to a low-carb approach, I was eating, you know, 4,000 calories, most of them coming from fat. And I dropped 15 pounds within the first month. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know I had 15 pounds to lose.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if the calories in, calories out model was really a thing, I would be obese. There's certain... I don't track my macros very often, but every once in a while I will. And I can have some days... I call them feasting days, so I pretty much eat as much as I can. I'll be around 400 grams of fat in a day. And mind you, that's like 4,000 calories, just, you know, for perspective. And maybe 400 to 500 grams of protein in a day. So if calories made you fat and I'm hanging out around 6,000, 7,000 in a single day, I'd be obese. And you can look at the site. I'm definitely not obese. So it's just not right.
Yeah, he's sitting right in front of me. He's pretty damn lean.
Right? Not obese. So it's just that model is just flawed in so many ways. And I think... It's predatory. Honestly, I think there's a huge industry, again, the fitness industry, that's making money off these supplements, these gyms making money off these challenges, and people see these short, quick results from cutting their calories and increasing their exercise, but that's not what we're about. We're about making you healthy and then letting your body respond as it will. And it will respond.
Oh yeah, definitely. If you really want to get to a healthy weight, do things that improve your health. Our bodies are so smart. They're the result of hundreds of thousands of years of evolution. Like, every time we have, you know, our kids, it's a better version of another human. Like, that keeps happening. We are at the peak of our evolution. I mean, like, could you imagine if LeBron James existed 50 years ago and was in the NBA? Like, oh my, if he looks like an alien now, imagine what he would have looked like playing against all those 6 foot tall white guys.
Yeah, it'd be
like,
rough.
Yeah, it would be
insane. Playing against guys like me.
Yeah, it would be.
It wouldn't be fair.
Oh, he's a monster now. I can't imagine him back then. Or imagine if Shaq played basketball, you know, 100 years ago. Like, nobody could stop him 20 years ago, more or less 100 years ago. So, yeah, we keep evolving. We're better versions of ourselves. So if you give yourself, if you give your body the right tools, it'll do the right thing.
Yeah.
Our bodies are really, really smart. Our bodies are smarter than our brains. At least I like to say that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think it depends on where you draw the line, but we've been quote-unquote humans for about 2.5 million years. So if you think you're smarter than 2.5 million years of evolution, or that gym owner that's telling you to come here and work out 3 hours a day, then run for the hills. You know what I mean? Like, sorry, don't listen to that guy.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And honestly, the best part about this, everybody listening to this, you have a body. You can try this stuff yourself.
Yeah, what do you have to lose?
I mean, most people have already probably tried that eat less, move more diet.
Everybody has.
Yeah, I mean, I used to use that all the time.
Me too.
You know, and the worst thing is, just like you said, is that it does work, but it only works until it doesn't.
Yep.
And then when it stops working, you get so discouraged because you're just like, I'm working so hard. I'm so miserable. I should be getting the results that I want. But you don't have to torture yourself.
No.
You don't need to put yourself on a prisoner of war type diet to lose weight and then also training like you're going to be a Navy SEAL. You don't need to do both of those things at the same time to lose weight and improve your health. It's way better just to focus on high quality foods, especially, I mean, we have never had this access to carbs like we do now. Like, that was just never available. So if you just replace most of your carbs, especially the processed carbs, with some high quality fat, some butter, lard, coconut oil, avocado oil, tallow, ghee, you know, that type of stuff. Get rid of those vegetable oils, get rid of those processed carbs. You can see so much more improvement, and those foods taste delicious. You're not going to want to go back to your old way of eating.
Yeah, I think like you said, we have way more access to carbs now than we ever have in human history. That's true. But on the flip side of that, what we can take advantage of, we have way more access to good quality meats, good quality fats than we ever have before in human history. There's something called pemmican, which is beef tallow, which is beef fat mixed up with almost like a beef jerky, that was used right around when people came to America, at least the white folks, and they started, you know, killing everybody. They lived off of pemmican, especially the fur traders in the north, right? Canada, things like that. We can live off just fat and meat easily, but they had to go out, kill buffalo, make the pemmican, melt the beef tallow, and that's a time-intensive and difficult process, honestly. Most people couldn't do it today. Nowadays, we can go down to the grocery store, we can buy a steak, no problem. We can buy a whole stick of butter, no problem. So for the first time, or at least the last, you know, 100 years or so, we have that opportunity to eat the right things every single day. So take advantage of your grocery store. And if you're a hunter, then go out and hunt. I have no problems with that. But, you know, use it to your advantage.
Oh, yeah. And one great thing about this is most of the world, or at least most of our country, hasn't caught on to this. So if you're eating chicken legs, chicken thighs, they taste way better because of the fat than chicken breasts.
They're cheaper.
And they're way cheaper. Mm-hmm. So much cheaper.
Yeah.
If you're buying ground beef, that 80-20s,
yeah,
prime time, it's half the price of that 90-10, that 93-7 stuff.
Oh, I always make a comment when I go to my local butcher has 80-20. Oh, I think it's about $4 a pound. And their 90-10 is about $7 a pound. And I always make a comment. I'm like, why in the world would anyone buy 90-10? And even these people, you know, they're in the meat industry. They really don't get what I'm talking about. There's more nutrition. There's more flavor in that 80-20, and it's cheaper. So there's no reason to buy 90-10 ground beef.
I mean, maybe if that's the only thing that you have, I guess I'd be doing.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. If you're really struggling, go ahead. But if you can get that that cheaper, again, more nutritious, better taste, you know, ground beef.
All right. So fasting's a pretty popular, like, strategy, weight loss strategy, health, yeah, strategy in today's world. Why is that different than calorie restriction?
Yeah. Well, I think it really depends on if you're fat adapted or not. You know, again, carbohydrate calories raise your insulin, and when you eat that for the majority of your life, most Americans do, then you have chronic elevated insulin called hyperinsulinemia. And eventually that leads to type 2 diabetes, and we see that's an epidemic nowadays. I don't know the numbers, but it's in the millions of people that are type 2 diabetic. But once you become fat adapted and your body sees your body fat, your body knows how to burn fat for fuel. Again, it's called beta oxidation. That's just the process of burning fat for energy. You can fast extremely easily and extremely healthily for days on end. Like I said, you're on day 4 of a fast?
Yeah, I'm approaching 90 hours.
Uh-huh. And you're fully fat adapted, right?
Well, yeah, definitely fat adapted, and it's not like I have a lot of fat. I'm 145, 150 pounds, somewhere around there. I don't really like to weigh myself. I don't really care. Mm. I look good. I feel good. So that's all that really matters. And yeah, I'm a small guy. I still got, I don't know, 20,000 calories of fat on me.
Yeah,
I could probably fast another week or two without really, you know, like doing some serious harm to my body.
Yeah, as long as you supplement with some like salt.
Yeah, definitely. You got to keep those electrolytes high. It's not necessary to do bone broth. I just, anytime I get hungry, I usually sip on some bone broth. Got a little bit of collagen protein, which is probably the most important type of protein you can get, or one of the most important types. And it's full of salts, full of electrolytes. I also add some turmeric, some garlic, some pepper to help that turmeric be a little bit more bioavailable. Yeah, it's a great way to heal yourself. The comparison I always like to make is you can't fix an engine while it's running. So if you really need your body to heal itself, especially your digestive system, fasting is probably the best way you can go. You can do all those juice cleanses, colon cleanses, all that type of stuff. But fasting's free. It's probably the easiest thing you could do. You literally don't eat. Like, you don't have to do anything.
Once you get your mind wrapped around it.
Oh, definitely. The hardest thing is figuring out what to do with all that extra time. One thing I like to do is if I know I'm going to be busy, I got some studying I want to do, going to be, you know, maybe writing some articles for the website, you know, something along those lines. I got some, like, challenging things coming up. That's when I like to fast. It's the best time. Your ketone levels are through the roof. It's crazy how much energy you have, how much smarter you feel because of those ketones. Your brain loves ketones. You're just so super sharp when you have ketones.
And ketones are from beta oxidation, right? They're from burning fat for fuel.
Yes, yes. As opposed to, you know, glycolysis burning glucose for fuel. The more glucose you have, the less ketones you have. It's a yin and yang thing, just like everything else in your body.
Yeah, yin and yang, yeah.
Everything's like that. Mm-hmm. You know, if one thing's high, something else has got to be low, and vice versa. If something else is low, something else has got to be high. So yeah, I love fasting. What's the longest fast you've done?
Longest fast I've done is 3 days. Okay. So I think it averaged, it was maybe 80 hours, but that was it for me.
It's about 3.5 days.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. The only reason I stopped, mainly, just get kind of bored, man. You know, you'd be crazy how much free time you have when you're not eating. So, again, it can be a blessing and a curse. So, if you're a busy person, then fasting's probably for you. But I definitely have a lot of free time as far as being home, you know, focusing on training and meal prep, things like that. So, when I don't eat and I have all this free time, you can get bored.
One thing to do with the fasting protocol is, so we were talking about yin and yang. So the opposite of fasting is feasting. So you don't fast for 4 days and then eat like a typical day your next day. No, you feast that next day.
Yeah, get down.
You don't eat 4 days worth of food. You know, you don't go to the grocery store, buy 3 pints of ice cream and just chow down on that. No, you eat the same type of diet you should be eating. I like to stick to a ketogenic diet. Definitely, especially after a fast. I mean, you know, I did all this work, you know, for my body to heal itself. I want to keep it going. I didn't do all that work to maintain.
Yeah, for nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, I like to break a fast. I'm going to go home after this, have a nice cup of bone broth, introduce something to my digestive system that's easy for it to process, something that it's used to getting. I do bone broth. That's the way I start every morning. The first thing my body consumes is a nice cup of bone broth. Then after that, wait about 20-30 minutes. I'll probably drink the bone broth while I'm making some food. I'll do a nice little light meal, maybe a couple legs and a piece of bacon, something along those lines, maybe half an avocado. After I eat that little bit of food, oh my God, your energy levels are through the roof. Like, I feel great now fasting, but that's nothing compared to how great I'm gonna feel once I get that little bit of food in me. Like, I've never felt stronger, clearer headed. Honestly, there's no like euphoric feeling like that. After you get that first little bit of food hit in you, I'm gonna go to the gym, train hard, and then after that, go home and I'm gonna eat like a king. I'm gonna eat until I can't eat anymore. Probably eat a couple pounds of meat, saute some nice oyster mushrooms. Those are great for nighttime, super good for relaxing you. Saute those with some squash and some zucchini with some, I don't know, probably about a stick of butter in that. So yeah, some nice high quality fats. So my body, you know, just stays in that ketosis. I don't really need to get that insulin spike. I mean, you really never need to get that insulin spike.
Mm-hmm, never.
So yeah, just, you know, if you're gonna fast, make sure you're feasting.
Yeah, with my extended fast, and again, I've done a lot of fasting throughout, I guess, this last year, and I'm pretty good at it. And my GI tract is bulletproof now. So for most people, I'd recommend exactly what Tom just said. Start small. Once you get that signal, go ahead and eat. When I broke my fast, I ate a dozen eggs, and it was 3 pounds of ground beef just at the same time. And I was fine. Felt great. Maybe I don't recommend that your first time out, but once you get this under your belt, don't be afraid to really put down that food. When we say feast, we really mean feast. So, you know, don't be afraid to get down.
Oh, yeah. I'm for sure going to eat over 6,000 calories today. And then another thing with the fasting and the feasting, the longer you fast, so if you're doing a 7-day, 10-day fast, definitely ease your way back into it. Don't do one gigantic meal after a 7-day fast. Definitely eat something small and then, you know, kind of ease your way into it. Do a small meal, give yourself an hour or two, and then you can eat a larger meal. And also eat something that you've been eating for a long time, you know, your body's good with.
Everybody's used to it.
Yeah, don't end a 7-day fast by going making a trip to In-N-Out or, you know, McDonald's, getting, you know, a double-double and a thing of fries. Like, no, that should not be your first meal out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely do it something that your body's used to. So one thing that a lot of people hear that I'm fasting, they're always like, aren't you worried your body's going to go into a starvation mode? What are your thoughts on that? I don't even know what starvation mode really means exactly.
Yeah, I don't think anybody does. And I think, again, it's this game is not that hard. It takes a little bit of critical thinking. If you think, let's say a million years ago, we're about halfway through human evolution, we're about a million years in, we're hunting, say buffalo, we don't get a kill that first day. You think when we go to sleep and wake up the next day, we're going to be more tired, more hungry, more low energy, and not be able to hunt that next day? That doesn't make any sense, because then what happens if we don't get buffalo that day? The third day, again, we're just more tired, more hungry. That third day, the species would have died out. So what happens, you know, you fast the second day, the third day, you just get more energy. Your human growth hormone goes up, your adrenaline goes up, and your body becomes just a machine. It is designed to work, and it'll work until you feed it. So evolutionary-wise, people think you burn muscle when you don't eat, and that's just simply not true. It just doesn't make sense.
And yeah, I've done those fasts, and I definitely agree with you. I feel sharper, have more energy. Yeah, it's crazy. And if you don't believe in the whole evolutionary thing, most, if not all, major religions incorporate some sort of fasting protocol annually. I mean, Jesus Christ fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He lived in a desert. I mean, that's got to be harder to do in a desert than anywhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, if he could fast for 40 days and 40 nights, every single image I've seen of him, he looked like a pretty lean guy.
Yeah, Jesus was jacked, man.
I mean, I've never seen an obese Jesus, so yeah. It's not like that guy had a lot of body fat to be tapping into. Mm-hmm. So if he can do 40 days and 40 nights, I think most people can. I don't know if I'll ever go that far.
Yeah, not me.
I think 7 days is probably going to be the longest I ever really plan on going into.
7 days sounds good.
Native Americans, when they do their vision quests, many of them, also, they're fasted for that.
What is it? What's Ramadan? I don't know either. I don't know. But they don't eat from sun up to sundown. Again, that's something they do for at least a month, you know, so they work in fasting, all that stuff.
Yeah, if they're going from sun up to sundown, I highly doubt that they're waking up before the sun to get that first meal. Mm-hmm. So they're pretty much doing at least a 24-hour fast with that.
Yeah, every day.
Like, no matter who you are, religion, almost everybody fasts, all the major religions. Evolution, we are designed to fast. We haven't had a McDonald's on every corner or a grocery store that just has, you know, all the shelves stocked full of food. So yeah, if we couldn't fast, then we would not have been able to survive.
No, not even close. I think we covered the calories in, calories out pretty good.
Yeah, and if you like to, if you have any comments, reach out to us. We're on all the social medias at TNT Wellness and Nutrition. I can debate this for days. We also have an article on TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com. It's called Blowing Up the Counting Calories Myth. Just look for the blue heart with the flexing arm.
That's it.
Yeah, and thank you for listening. Stay tuned. We'll have lots of great more material coming up.